Fun show today. Fill in the blank. A little MLB draft talk. I got some nerd jokes for you. I put the URL for the nerd jokes in the show notes, guys. Do not look it up. You're not allowed to look it up. Nerd jokes. Okay?
All right.
I'm Adam Azer with Al Melgior and Chris Towers. We have Women's World Cup Fever. USA!
USA! USA!
See, well,
go USA.
One of us has the fever. Or two of us. Chris and Adam. Al needs to get on board.
Al is immune.
Good morning, guys. I have a nerd joke to start for you.
All right.
That's what I've heard.
A neutron walks into a bar and says to the bartender, "Hey, how much for a beer?" Bartender says, "For you, no charge."
Ah!
I get it.
I like it.
I googled nerd jokes for you guys, and I stumbled upon viralnova.com/nerd-jokes. So, nobody, if you're at home or on a computer, don't go to the website. I'm going to read more of them later. I don't want you to have them spoiled. We'll do some buy or sell right now. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com and put baseball podcast or something baseball podcast related in there. We'll talk to you about some DFS later. Jimmy Nelson, Mike Bolsinger, Chris Sale, Lance McCullers, Rockies are hitting very well right now. But here's our first email. Email of the day is from Reggie. Email of the day number one. Buy or sell, these players are on the verge of their best month of the season. I'll go down the list here. Carlos Gonzalez is the first one listed. Buy or sell, best month of their season for Carlos Gonzalez.
It's a low bar, but I'm buying.
I'll buy it.
Matt Kemp.
Pretty good April, actually, for Kemp. So he's coming around, but I'm going to sell.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Chris is not buying it with Matt Kemp, but last five games, 8-for-21 with a home run and three doubles. He's doubled in three straight games, Chris.
Okay, well, why specifically me?
Because you said sell. Oh, did Al say sell?
I said sell too.
I did, but I qualified mine.
Oh, because April was pretty good.
I gave him some props for a pretty good April.
Well, I guess it should have been directed at both of you. Well, I'm interested to see what happens with Matt Kemp. Hopefully he gets it going a little bit. I mean, he needed extra innings. I think he had an 0-for-4 night before he got the double last night. Troy Tulowitzki is next on Reggie's list. Buy or sell on the verge of his best month of the season.
He's already had his best month of the season. He has set his season high for home runs and walks through the first six games of the month of June. So I will buy that.
Yes, I'll buy it too.
Yeah, again, a low bar. Now with Tulowitzki, he's already, or with this hot streak, he's now a top five shortstop over the entire season. He's batting .310 with seven home runs. You mentioned the walks, Chris. Now three home runs in his last five games. That's great. Last nine games, four walks, which is actually huge for him since he only has eight all season. So yeah. The plate discipline may be coming back for Tulo, and he's been crushing it.
Would appear.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was queuing you up for some analysis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the big thing for him this season, he's just been way too aggressive without the usual benefits of being aggressive. If you're going to be aggressive, you usually want a guy who's going after good pitches to hit early in the count and hitting for power, but he was kind of giving you the worst of both worlds. He was hitting for a high average, but the power and the plate discipline had both regressed. So it's a good sign to see him starting to move her in the right direction both ways.
An infectious disease enters a bar. The bartender says, "We don't serve your kind in here." And the disease replies, "Well, you're not a very good host."
Ah!
I get it.
All right, next up, Jonathan Lucroy.
Why are all these microbes going to a bar?
Yeah, I don't know. Jonathan Lucroy, come on, Reggie, that's too easy. Dustin Pedroia is on the verge of having the best month of his season.
I will buy Jonathan Lucroy, you mentioned.
Well, that's dumb, yeah.
Yeah. Pedroia, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll buy Boy Lucroy and sell Pedroia.
Why are we not feeling it with Pedroia?
I mean, just because he's been pretty good already.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Michael Franco, another nice night for him. Three more hits, I think.
I suppose I could buy this because we've seen the power from him, and there's no reason to think that it's... Actually, I think he'll tail off somewhat power-wise, but I think he's due for a better average. So, not that there's anything terribly wrong with what he's done so far, but sure, why not? Best month.
I'll sell it just because I think he's been really solid so far. I think this is just about what I expected from him. He's not striking out too much. He's hitting for decent power. I'll push it. I think he's been fine so far.
Austin Jackson, best
What's
month
salt
of his...
and pepper response?
Austin Jackson, oh, push. I'm pushing it real good. Austin Jackson, he's been horrible. Could he have the best month of his season, and will it matter for fantasy?
Yes and yes. Because when Austin Jackson is, I mean, he's so inconsistent, but if he just finds the middle ground, which I think he can, there'll be enough power and enough steals there for him to matter in a roto league.
Adam Eaton, buy or sell, best month of his season.
Yes, and so what?
No, Al, what have you learned from our exercise last week?
Well, I know he gets a lot of at-bats, right?
Yes,
or a lot of plate appearances.
Which, by just in that of itself, if that makes sense, is enough to make him fantasy relevant.
All right, so let me rephrase. Yes, and Adam Azer cares.
No, I don't. Not enough to pick him up. All right, email of the day number two is from Chris Gaines in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have a fantasy ethics question. I was watching the Cubs game on Saturday, a painful tradition, and I saw Rondon got yanked after a leadoff walk. Knowing how shaky even his successful outings have been, I figured this was surely leading to a role change. I immediately sent out an offer involving Rondon to a former friend that I know needs a closer. We got the deal done before the news got to this poor guy. Am I a bad person? After complaints, I promised to donate $10 in his name to the Human Fund.
That makes you a bad person.
That is a pretty shady, lousy thing to do, I think, in fantasy.
I don't think it's shady.
Well, I meant the donation to the Human Fund, but
You don't, Chris?
No.
I do. That's not right.
That's on you as an owner. Look, I've said it a bunch of times. I'm not about policing people's roster moves. You need to be able to take care of your own team. If you're not paying attention to the roster to the changes in team dynamics, you know, that's kind of on you.
All right, fine. So last night, I own Matt Holliday, and I offer you my Matt Holliday for your Billy Burns. And you're like, yeah, heck yeah, I'll do it. And you click accept. And then I go, hey, I was just watching the game. And he just hurt his quad pretty bad. He might be out for a while. Sucker! I wouldn't do something like that to you, Chris Towers. I'm a better man.
Every time I get a trade offer that's too good to be true, I'm immediately searching to see if there's anything I'm missing. Because it has to be too good to be true.
I don't think it was so obvious that day that Hector Rondon, I don't know.
Exactly. It wasn't obvious to.
Well, I guess that's kind of
to Chris from Oklahoma.
Point. Yeah,
he was just conjecturing.
I shouldn't have said that because now I'm helping you, which I didn't want to do. Helping your argument, Al. Where do you stand on this? Break the tie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's vetoable or anything like that. I don't feel comfortable doing that maneuver.
Look, it's kind of a jerk move.
Yes,
but. So was, Daryl Morey putting Carmelo Anthony in Jeremy Lin's uniform number when they were recruiting Carmelo Anthony while Jeremy Lin was on their roster. But that doesn't mean it's not something you're supposed to do. You're trying to win.
It didn't work, did it? Because Melo didn't go there.
It's ethically questionable. But at the end of the day, it's not against the rule. It's not. It lives in a gray area.
I don't like it, but
the world is about gray.
Chris, why don't you go? Just speaking of,
I'm not trading with Chris anymore.
Yeah, well, I have a trade offer out there for Chris. I'm waiting for him to accept.
I'm not going to.
I figured.
I'm not trading you any injured players, so
nobody respects any of my trade offers. And I'm giving you Lance Lynn, who's kind of injured, so I could see why you would do that. Lance Lynn should be fine. They're going to monitor him. He had some forearm tightness. Get to news in a second. MLB draft was yesterday. If you don't know the name, Dansby Swanson. It's a pretty sweet name. So
it is. You need to know just for the name alone.
Yeah. So yesterday he leads Vanderbilt to the College World Series, and then he becomes the number one overall player picked in the amateur draft by the Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't want to spend too much time on this because it probably doesn't help that many owners, but who are the rookies that could have the quickest impact, Carlos Rodon-like, for fantasy?
This draft is a lot tougher with that. Because there was no, super high end type in this draft. So I'm trying to, I think, I apologize.
You always have to look at at college pitchers. Those guys seem to move the
quickest. Right. I'm trying to remember the guy from UCSB who was taken very early.
I'm going to pull this.
I know Carson Fulmer from Vanderbilt, number 8 overall.
Yeah.
But even that, it's pretty rare. You know, you think of the guys who make the jump straight from college, and it's like Mike Leake did it. Rodon basically did it, but even that was a year. So it's there were some college guys. Dylan Tate is the guy from UC Santa Barbara. Actually, 3 of the top 4 were college players. 2 of them were hitters. Those guys should move up pretty quickly. Dansby Swanson, Alex Bregman. Also, by the way, baseball draft just has the best names. Dansby Swanson sounds like such a gentleman.
Totally.
You know, it all depends on, you know, Chris Sale moved up pretty quickly. A lot of those guys will get moved up as relievers, and so the upside is limited there. But you really, if you're looking for someone to add in a dynasty league, or if your team's doing, if your league does like a post rookie dynasty draft, you probably want to target college hitters and college pitchers. Those are the only guys who are going to be up in 3 years.
Well, and then there's just one other guy, like, for long term. I don't know about Brady Aiken when he'll be up, but he was 17th overall. But just so you know, he was the number 1 overall pick, Brady Aiken, in the 2014 draft, but he did not sign with the Astros. So he went 17th, coming off Tommy John surgery.
Tommy John. He did.
But so that's, you know, that's like arthroscopic at this point. Come on.
The issue for him before was that his UCL was too small. So now he's got a new UCL. Maybe he'll be even better.
It's just right.
Perfect.
I figure your favorite draftee in the first round, Adam, was Tyler J. There's no sign that he's related to the player. But he's kind of interesting because he's been a closer at Illinois. So I have to wonder if maybe he gets the Brandon Finnegan treatment.
Yeah.
And we see him pretty soon in the Twins bullpen. The Twins are always so slow to promote their pitchers, so I don't know that I would count on that.
Also, 3 Vanderbilt players in the first round.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Way to go, Commodores.
On their way to the College World Series, which I'll be watching very intently. All right, the big news. David Ortiz says he's not washed up. Chris Towers wrote about it on the Fantasy Baseball Today blog. What do you say, Chris Towers? Is David Ortiz washed up?
He has he's actually hitting pretty well against right-handed pitchers this season. He's got a positive strikeout to walk ratio. He's doing well, but he is completely lost. I think he has like a sub 300 OPS against lefties. He has 13 strikeouts to 0 walks against left-handed pitchers, and his swinging strike rate against them has jumped from 9% last season to nearly 14%.
That when I read your blog entry that Ortiz has 0 walks against lefties, was really eye-opening.
And it makes you think, you know, I mentioned in the blog that guys like Jim Thome, Jason Giambi, Carlos Delgado, the guys that are similar to him, big, hulking left-handed hitters, they were reasonably productive well into their late 30s, but they were guys that weren't really everyday hitters after a certain point. For whatever reason, there was someone in the comments who asked why it is that those specific types of players seem to lose their ability to hit left-handers more quickly. I'm not sure why that would be, but it seems to be pretty uniform. Those guys just, I guess they're not as good against lefties. The lefty-lefty split is usually more difficult for hitters anyway, so maybe that's just their total skill base erodes, but they have less room for error against them. I don't know. It's weird.
So would you rather have rest of season, Mookie Betts or David Ortiz?
Well, Mookie Betts you can use as something besides a DH or utility, so that probably helps.
He's also not washed up.
No, he's
not.
So you guys,
washed up.
You guys are going Betts?
I'm going Betts.
Yeah, probably.
Chris Carter or David Ortiz?
I feel like they're going to be really similar production-wise. Maybe even at this point, Chris Carter would be better.
I think so,
and
too.
And Chris Carter's a first base eligible also.
Carlos Correa. Let's say I have him as my backup shortstop and I have Johnny Peralta. I offer you Correa for David Ortiz. What do you think?
That's a weird situation because if I don't have a good shortstop, I'd probably take that move because it's easier to find someone to put in that utility spot than that shortstop spot. So he would probably have more value to me than to you.
I'd take that deal.
Yeah.
You take Correa. Okay.
Yeah.
Matt Holliday left last night's game with a quad injury. I traded him to Chris Towers. John Jay replaced him. And homered at Colorado. So
see
John,
Tyler J do that.
Yeah, John Jay, Randall Grichuk, both might be in the lineup tonight. Francisco Lindor was in consideration by Cleveland for promotion, but he's a little banged up. He has injuries to his hand and his core. But they were considering calling up Lindor, so how stashable is Francisco Lindor?
He just doesn't have a lot of offensive upside. What makes him such a great prospect is his glove. He's supposed to be a gold glove type defender, whereas his bat is just kind of, it plays well enough to get his glove in the lineup.
So,
as opposed to like Zach Walters, the other guy, one of the other guys they called up, his glove doesn't play well enough to get his bat in the lineup, but his bat could be so good that they'll take the risk.
Yeah, but you've got Urshela and Lindor on the left side. You need to go out and get yourself Carlos Carrasco. A little BABIP help there.
Yeah, it could.
Houston's going to call up Vince Velasquez, and he's going to start at the White Sox. Starting pitcher here, Scott talked about him yesterday. Great numbers at AA. Roberto Hernandez going to the bullpen for Houston. So Vince Velasquez, who would you be dropping right now? Like, would you drop Mike Fiers for Vince Velasquez?
No, but you're close.
You know, if it wasn't for, we've seen how good Lance McCullers been, if it wasn't for a groin injury last season, then I think he had an oblique injury in spring training, he could have been the guy that got the call instead of McCullers, because he's been better than McCullers at every level.
So that
tells you how good Velasquez can be as a prospect.
Yeah, why not drop Fiers for him?
Because I think Fiers could be pretty productive himself.
Okay.
He's more of a known quantity, I guess, for better and for worse.
Would you drop Jared Weaver for Vince Velasquez?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
How about, we'll try to pick somebody who's not pitching tonight, Yordano Ventura?
I mean,
that's a tougher one. I don't think I would.
I guess you're banking on the fact that Ventura throws so hard, eventually it'll turn into something more than what it's been. Right?
It already did. I mean, in my opinion, if you just look at his last, I don't know, 2 months basically of last year, he was awesome.
He's had stretches.
Yeah. He finished the season so strong. I really thought he was going to have a good year. I can't see myself dropping him, and I don't think most people would. I think people have more droppable players on their team.
Yeah.
Maybe a guy like Joe Kelly. He's not owned that. How about Mike Leake?
Oh, for sure.
Shane Green.
Shane Green. Tywan Walker?
Yes.
I was a little quick to do that.
Yeah. I think I'm going to take that back.
I think I'm looking to drop. You mentioned Jared Weaver. I said Shane Green. Guys that don't seem to have much upside that are safer options, but the safe is the best case scenario is a high 3 ERA, so it doesn't really matter. If it's still someone pretty young, like a Tywan Walker or Yordano Ventura, I'm probably trying to hold on to them and looking for a different option.
You know, of the younger pitchers, the one I would definitely dump for Velasquez is Jimmy Nelson.
What about Chi-Chi?
Oh, yeah, and I would do that easily.
Okay, next up. Houston doesn't know yet how Carlos Correa's promotion is going to impact Jed Lowry. We'll worry about that when the time comes. Correa batted sixth. He went 1-for-4 with an RBI, an infield single, and a strikeout at the White Sox. Travis d'Arnaud should be back tomorrow. Edwin Encarnacion expected back today. Justin Turner day-to-day with a knee contusion. I swear if he's out any extended period of time and Alex Guerrero gets regular at-bats after I dropped him in two leagues, after my love affair with Alex Guerrero, I'd be quite mad. And as of right now, there are 7 Kansas City Royals starting in the All-Star game if the voting ended today. So do your civic duty. Get out there and vote. And make things right, because there should not be 7 Royals starting in the All-Star game.
Because if you don't, Heath will.
Heath retweeted a great tweet last night. It was in the afternoon. It was currently the AL All-Star team is projected to lose to Phil Hughes by the Vegas line. I thought that was fantastic. They did beat Phil Hughes.
They beat the Twins. They didn't exactly beat Phil Hughes. But
he took the L.
He did take the L, yeah. Last night was, thanks to Alcides Escobar and Alex Rios, the worst FanDuel beat I've ever had. I went head-to-head with one person, and I lost by half a point in FanDuel. Yeah, and I had a pretty good night, too. I mean, I had Chris Sale in there, and somehow
when you said the worst, I thought you meant, like, the biggest margin. But
no.
That's just the most painful.
No, I scored 52 points. I lost 52.5 to 52. Felt good about the lineup, so upped the ante a little bit, went for the head-to-head, and thought I could win, and I should have won. I just missed it. But listen, go to FanDuel right now. FanDuel's changing the way people play fantasy sports. Every single day is basically a new season. You can pick a brand new team any day you want, and it's really cheap. Entry fees start at just $1 with no season-long commitment and no sign-up fees, and an awesome offer code for you to use. If you go to FanDuel right now, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code CBSPOD. Sign up now, CBSPOD. Watch Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern. We're going to help you out every single weeknight, 6 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com. Help you set your lineup for FanDuel. Help you win some money. Help you enjoy fantasy. I promise you're going to have a lot of fun. You can talk about it with us just like we talk about it every single day. All right, Monday standouts. I got a list here. I'll let you guys talk about your standouts as well. But Mike Bolsinger had another good start. And he's got a 2.08 ERA. He struck out 8 Diamondbacks in 7 innings. Bolsinger, 72% owned. What do you guys think about him? Would you drop Bolsinger for Vincent Velasquez?
I would. This is a really, looked like a very good two-start week for Bolsinger, and he's halfway there now. But these are particularly good matchups for him. If you look at the game log, he's done very well against teams that hit a lot of ground balls, and he himself is a ground ball pitcher. But I think we're going to see some inconsistency and unevenness in the performance. And for a guy that I would only use, I think, probably less than 50% of the time, I'd rather have Velasquez.
Yeah, and Velasquez has that strikeout potential. I think that's what will make him stand out if he lives up to his potential.
My goodness, how good is Chris Sale? Double-digit strikeouts in 5 of his last 6 starts and 6 in a row.
He was one of those guys through like his first 5 starts that people were wondering, what's wrong with Chris Sale? You remember when he had a 5.93 ERA through his first 5 starts?
I do remember that.
He's pretty good.
Well, that's a long time ago.
And that is why I have made a couple of buy low offers on a guy that I already own on 3 of my 6 teams, Julio Teheran. Because I can't figure out a good reason why Teheran hasn't been better. And I just feel like maybe it's going to take him longer than Sale. He's not nearly as good as Sale. But every single pitcher that hasn't had a physical ailment, every single good pitcher that hasn't had a physical ailment has figured it out. And so I'm hopeful for Teheran.
I mean, the thing with Teheran is, you know, with Chris Sale, the peripherals were all still great. He was still striking out a batter per inning. He had one bad control game, but it wasn't, I don't think there was much to be concerned about there. Whereas with Teheran, everything's kind of moving in the wrong direction with him. That's my concern.
What's moving in the wrong direction, though?
Strikeout rate's way down. Well, not way down from last season, but way down from his peak. His walk rate is way up.
But he is walking, guys, yeah.
I think there's more reason to be concerned about him right now than a typical buy-low candidate.
I agree, not a typical buy-low candidate, but certainly you don't have to give up much if you want to take a chance on him. Agree to disagree, Chris. I will not be trading Julio Teheran to you, just by injured players.
Okay, that works.
What'd you think of Lance McCullers, guys? 7 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts at the White Sox.
Well, very impressive, even though it's one of the easier matchups in the American League against the White Sox. But I was not totally convinced that he was going to have this kind of outing after what was his best start by far of the year. I thought that there might be, you know, a lot more regression start to start. So the fact that he's put together 2 pretty dominant starts in a row, I find really, really good and encouraging as a McCullers owner.
But this is what I was saying to Scott yesterday, because I expect McCullers to have, I expected him to have a good start yesterday. I think probably we all did, facing the White Sox. And I expect him to have another good one this weekend when he faces Seattle. They can't hit.
And they strike out a lot more than the White Sox do. So that was actually my more favored matchup for him this week. So he's off to a good start and could get even better.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but the question is, I guess we can talk about it on Monday, but the question is, are you going to look to sell McCullers after, if he has a good start against Seattle, which will be 3 good ones in a row, after 3 non-quality starts?
That might be a smart thing to do, but I won't do it, because it's just, no, this is back-to-back starts where he's had 15 or more swinging strikes, just utter domination.
Okay.
So if I had the good fortune to pick this guy up off of waivers or with FAB, I want to play it out.
See, the one thing that I am concerned about is coming up as a prospect, the concern was always he looked like he was kind of a guy that was projected to be, you know, if everything clicked, he could be a starter, but most people thought he might be a reliever down the road. He's got two really good pitches. He throws really hard, but the control and command weren't there, and the third pitch weren't there. So we'll see how it goes when teams start to get a little more of a scouting report against him.
Chris, any standouts for you from yesterday?
I'm going to pass.
Al?
Okay. Thanks. I'll take my turn. Actually, let's go talk about Zach Cozart, who homered against the Phillies, went 3-for-4. And, you know, I gave some thought to starting Cozart in DFS, but I thought, well, I know he's really good against lefties, but it's Cole Hamels. And I think maybe I need to kind of, you know, let go of some of the reservations I have about Cozart, because I know that he really provided very little offensively the previous two seasons. But he's looking much more like the hitter he was in his rookie season. More power, more fly balls, I think, is the trend that supports that. And he's just, for daily, I mean, I think he's practically a must-start.
But you know what's interesting?
Against lefties.
Against lefties. You know what's interesting, Al, because I remember you saying this on Daily Fantasy Live with Cozart, and this relates not only to him and daily, but him overall. He's Cozart's 71% owned. Is that you know, Heath said, start him against the lefty, start him against this lefty, whatever. And you said, I'm backing off because I think I don't trust the numbers. And I think most of it was, you know, at the beginning of the season when he was hot. And I agreed with you. And he didn't have a good game that particular day. And he's hit two home runs in his last three games, but I'm just looking at the numbers. 250, 330, 382 in May. 233 batting average so far in June. Honestly, I kind of think he stinks again.
No, see, somewhere in the middle. He's certainly not what he was in April when we were, you know, kind of gushing over him. But, I mean, he really is genuinely studly against lefties. His strikeout per plate appearance ratio so far this year is 5.8%. And
okay.
Very good power. I mean, not shortstop power, just plain old really good power against lefties. And he's not as good against righties, but his ISO against righties is still 176, which for shortstop is really good. So I'm not saying he's elite. I'm not saying he's going to bounce back to where he was earlier. Batting average-wise, he has regressed. He is a low BABIP hitter and probably will be for the foreseeable future. But he's a must-own in roto leagues. He's a must-start in daily versus lefties. And he's just, I think he is much better than he was last two seasons.
Would you rather have Cozart or Wilmer Flores?
Yeah, that's close.
Kind of similar players.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'd probably go Cozart.
Yeah, it's really tough. I'll give Cozart a slight edge.
Cozart or Eric Ibar?
Cozart easily.
Easily. Chris?
I'll go Cozart.
And how about DJ LeMahieu? Let's say you have a middle infielder that you need. Cozart or LeMahieu? How about LeMahieu is a top three second baseman over the last 21 days, during which he's batting .362. And he had a 3-for-5 night yesterday.
This is a case where it depends what you need. I'd say in the proverbial vacuum, I'd rather have Cozart because I tend to prefer power hitters. But LeMahieu is certainly going to help you much, much more in batting average. So if you've got a roto roster where you have a greater need there, LeMahieu would be a better choice.
I would certainly be looking to sell high on LeMahieu.
That's what I wanted to hear. Let's play some.
But Cozart's not selling high, I don't think.
No. Let's play some fill in the blank, part one. From Douglas Kelly, fill in the blank. Blank is a top 100 guy who I don't want on my team.
Top 100, just overall top 100 players.
I mean, I'll nominate Alex Gordon. I don't know if he's still top 100, but he and Jared Weaver were like two guys that I totally did not want to, and Matt Holliday too. But I just don't think Gordon's all that good on a per game basis. And now he's slumping again and just, there's like no power there.
All right. I got one for you. And this is sort of a lie because I do have him on one team. Jose Reyes. I remember being very reluctant to draft him, but I just thought, you know, I'm overreacting to the injury history. He's more often than not way up there in value, but he just frustrates me.
That's
no
interesting.
No on-base
now.
Percentage there. The stolen bases are inconsistent. So if I had to do it over again, I would not be a Jose Reyes owner.
I think Ian Desmond. I'm legitimately concerned about him.
All right. Matt, yeah, the funny thing with Desmond and Reyes is, like, I can understand not wanting to own them, but who else you gonna own at shortstop?
Yeah, shortstop is terrible.
Here's Matt Pickle. Robinson Cano for blank would be an acceptable trade right now.
A bag of peanuts.
With I the mean, shells I'm on them, or?
I'm sorry?
Like, de-shelled peanuts, or like you gotta take the shell off?
I actually like them better in the shell.
Yeah, I do too, but it's so much work and it's so messy. Like, I don't know if I'm giving up. I'm giving up Cano. I don't want to have to do any extra work.
No, I'm good with the peanuts in the shell for Cano.
Okay.
Cano for... Whew.
I mean, I'm definitely still trying to buy low on him. I have a hard time buying that this guy, who was one of the best hitters in baseball, has just fallen off this badly. Even at, you know, he's older. He's not old. I just...
It's going to have to be for somebody, I think, who's in a similar situation. Somebody who's having a very disappointing year, but that I have much more faith will turn it around. I haven't figured out who that person is yet.
Well,
that's the type of deal I'd look for.
To trade Cano or to trade for Cano?
To trade Cano for, to get an exchange.
Oh, okay. I was thinking the other way of, like, I would trade this person for Cano.
Would I trade to get Cano?
And my first thought, and something I've actually already done, is if you have an extra closer, they are so valuable. You can get really good value for extra closers. People tend to overvalue saves. I traded John Axford and Jung Ho Kang for Robinson Cano. I don't know that you can pull that off in your league. I admit that was a good trade. But, like, maybe you picked up Sean Tolleson. Offer him for Robinson Cano or something like that. I think that could be a good place to start. But I guess the question, Cano, maybe he's not going to hit for power, but there's no reason why he shouldn't be at least hitting for a good batting average. So do you, I know Chris considers him a buy low. Al, do you consider Cano a buy low?
Not really. I'll just say no. I don't have very much confidence that he's going to get much better.
Wow.
Yeah, he is. You know, after hitting for a .322 BABIP throughout his career, including higher than .325 each of the last three seasons, I think he's definitely a .280 guy now.
No way.
No, I know. I was being sarcastic. I'm buying low on Cano. I don't think he's going to hit for power, but I don't see much. Like, he's striking out a lot more, and that's an issue. He cannot hit lefties right now. That's an issue. But I can't say that his skills have eroded so far that he can't still be the .300 hitter that we've come to expect. Yeah, he might not do a lot else because he doesn't steal base. Although, he does already have a career... Or no, sorry. I was looking at last season.
All right.
He has one stolen base. He has two home runs. He's not doing anything secondary. But a big part of that is his runs and RBI are down because he's only hitting .240. He's not a .240 hitter.
Right.
You know, this is a guy who's going to hit .300.
I'm not sure he's going to hit .300. I am pretty sure he's not going to hit .240. So when I say I don't think he's going to bounce back... To me, if he hits an empty .290, that's not.
But we're talking.
That's not interesting to me.
But we're talking buy low.
Okay, but you know we were just very quick to dismiss DJ LeMahieu, who has the skill set to hit .300, but not really do a whole lot else.
Sure.
Okay. I'm not sure Robinson Cano, and it sounds weird and horrible to say this, horrible in the sense of it must be wrong, but. I'm not sure what's there for Cano beyond the potential for a .300 average. Well, and any player with a different name than Robinson Cano, if that's their upside, I'm dismissing them, even at second base.
But you had him as a first-round pick this year, right?
No.
I don't think so. I think
you had him as
round.
A top 15 guy coming into this season.
First two rounds, for sure.
So how much has changed in the last 2 months?
That there's
because
been
that was,
no sign of a power of the power rebound that I was expecting.
So if he had done what he did last season, where would you have if that was your expectation, where would you have drafted him? The 14 home runs, .314 average, 77 runs, 82 RBI.
So if he was on that pace right now,
if that was the guy that you thought he was
getting
into the season,
that's
still a top 5 round guy.
Yeah, because no, I was thinking fourth or fifth round.
Yeah, he was the number six second baseman in Roto-er categories last year with that .314 batting average and 14 home runs.
I just think he's closer to that than to what he's been so far. I don't think he's the guy he was with the Yankees. He changed his home park. He's an older player. His batted ball profile is different. He's not hitting as many fly balls. He's hitting a lot more ground balls. But the batted ball velocity, the hard hit data, everything else points to him hitting the ball extremely well. He's hitting it on the ground, yes. But I think he's still closer to the guy he was last season, and that guy was still a very valuable player.
And that guy, Robinson Cano, last year was worth more fantasy points than D. Gordon, believe it or not. And he was a better second baseman in Roto than Josh Harrison, who had a really good year, and Howie Kendrick and Neil Walker, etc.
I'm not saying you're buying him as Robinson Cano.
No, obviously the Robinson he's not Cano that guy.
Who looked like a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you're buying him as the disappointing version of Robinson Cano, where the guy who owns him is probably willing to just give him away at
yep.
this point. He's
yep.
so frustrated.
Okay, next up, this is so appropriate. The captain says, Adam will say, let's speed up this podcast blank times today. Well, here's the first.
Let's not answer it. Let's speed up this podcast.
Yeah, no, let's speed it up. Big Mike, Tanaka will be a top blank starting pitcher, and Puig will be a top blank outfielder.
All right, Tanaka, I'm going to say, this is rest of season for like right now.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I worry so much about injury with him.
Yeah, can we just say, during
top
the period
40.
When he's healthy and then not?
Yeah, let's play the harder version of the game.
I feel way more confident in saying that he can be like a top 15 starting
yeah.
pitcher just during that period when he's healthy. It's just overall, I don't think you can value him as that, but top 30?
Yeah, I'm going 40.
Let's speed up this podcast. Yeah, so Puig will be a top blank outfielder.
Rest of season 10.
Yeah.
Top 10.
From
six,
Nick. Seven. Dropping Melky Cabrera would be blank.
Defensible. He's the only player in baseball who's been worse against lefties than David Ortiz.
Dropping Melky would be a relief.
Dan Zimmerman, I would trade Vincent Velasquez for blank. That's tough. Who's going to trade him for?
I think the moment after a big prospect gets called up is always the best time to trade them. Just because they're... You know, people are looking at what he could become. That's the time when the best case scenario is the easiest thing to see. And yeah. sometimes it turns out Lance McCullers is really good. Sometimes Andrew Heaney last year was a disaster. So but a specific player, that's a long way of saying that I don't know a specific player that I would trade for. I was trying to buy time for Al to think of something.
Yeah, no, and I appreciated it. All right, I'll say, well, for one, I don't think you can pull this off. I was thinking Dallas Keuchel, but people are valuing him too much.
Oh, God, no.
Robinson yeah. Cano.
That might actually work.
I think I'd do that if I had...
Hell yeah, I'd do that.
If I had Velasquez, I'd probably do that.
Al wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I was just thinking pitchers here. The Trevor Bauer range.
Let's speed up. Oh, Trevor Bauer. Oh, yeah. You would give up Velasquez for Trevor Bauer. Yeah, okay.
After one of it starts where you walk six guys, then I...
Let's speed up this podcast. How do you know that the moon is going broke? It's down to its last quarter.
I get it.
Let's see. A couple more here. A cop pulls Heisenberg over and asks him, do you know how fast you were going? And Heisenberg replies, no, but I know where I am.
I get it. That's a good one.
Where does bad light end up? Bad light. Where does it end up?
A prism?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, you big nerd. Good for you. And that's
I mean, this
it.
Is hitting my two favorite things, being a nerd and wordplay.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And those two things go hand in hand. Believe
yeah,
me.
I don't know anybody who has taken as much joy in the existence of Cat Latos as Chris. It's great.
Well, you know, I hope Pat Vendite has a cat that he just names Pet Vendite.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. So, is that how you pronounce it, Vendite?
Venditti.
Venditti.
That's what
yeah.
I thought. Yeah. Four up, two down. I don't know.
I'm totally coming up blank with some kind of ambidextrous cat joke.
I'm skipping around in the notes here. Let's see where we should go. We got some time left. All right, let's go through these next four quickly here. Or only three, actually.
Let's speed this up.
Three up. Avisail Garcia. He has homered now three times in June. They are his only hits. So June Avisail Garcia is bizarro Avisail Garcia because he used to be like all batting average, no power. Now he's 3-for-24 with three home runs. Al, defend your boy, Avisail Garcia.
I don't want to. I don't really want to trash him either. I just want to shrug my shoulders and say, I don't get it. I don't know who he is.
78% owned.
But that's what I often find myself saying right before a guy breaks out. So, all right, there's my lame defense.
Oh, that's cool. Would you rather have Garcia or Lorenzo Cain?
I'd rather have Garcia.
Chris?
Yeah. I like young players that show specific skill sets at different times because that's at least telling you that they have some sort of all around game and if they can just put it together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's always obviously not a certainty.
Garcia or Yasmani Tomas?
I'll go Garcia too, just because I know Tomas is starting to play a little outfield, but I don't trust that situation in Arizona with Urbay getting to play enough.
Four up, number two, Charlie Blackmon. I don't think we've talked much about him. He's the number 15 outfielder in points and number 13 in Roto. Blackmon is batting .266 with 7 home runs and 13 steals, despite batting .159 against lefties. Any thoughts on Blackmon and the season he's having? Top 15 outfielder.
That's interesting that you gave us the lefty splits. I wonder if the road splits are as bad as last year.
No, they're not.
They're not?
No.
That actually makes me feel a little better about him.
Me too.
Because you're just going to hit better at Coors Field. Like that's just going to happen eventually. Like the odds will win out in your favor if you're betting on someone hitting at Coors Field. So I think he should be better in at least half of his games, and that's going to make his overall line look better.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Exactly.
Hunger Games 3, the Coors Field edition. Oh, no, what are they on, four now, nerds?
Three and a half?
Okay. I'm going to double-check the home road splits. So Charlie Blackmon actually slugging. Could this be right? He's hit 5 of his 7 home runs on the road. Slugging like 80 points higher on the road than he is at home.
It's nutty.
How about that? Three up, number three is Kenneth Vargas. I think it actually might be Kenny Vargas, since I heard it on the Twins broadcast the other day.
Yeah.
And, he did pretty well in the minors, recently called back up, went 1-for-4 with 2 strikeouts, yesterday. 17% owned. If you're in a roto league, is this a guy that, might pay off a little bit later? Kenny Vargas?
I don't think so. Not a deep one. But not like a 12-team mixed, or even a 14-team mixed. I wouldn't really.
You're kind of
going after him.
He's a poor man's Chris Carter, and Chris Carter's only owned in like 60% of leagues right now.
Yeah,
that's pretty destitute.
So two down. We talked about Alex Gordon. How about Christian Yelich? When do we get concerned about Yelich? Who was 20th in points, 27th in Roto last year at the outfield position, and he has just been horrible at a .216 batting average after an 0-for-4 night.
I mean, some of it's BABIP related, especially for a guy with his speed, he still hits the ball very hard. He's among the leaders in batted ball velocity, but he always hits it on the ground, which actually is a good thing for his BABIP. I thought coming back from the injury might be better, but his strikeout rate is still sky high since coming back. I think I'm definitely concerned. There's no question about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's speed up this podcast. Zero man rotation, nobody in the rotation from last night. We talked about Chris Sale and Lance McCullers. So here are your fringy starting pitchers, and give me your top three. Ruby De La Rosa. Getting ugly for him. Mike Bolsinger, Jimmy Nelson, Marco Estrada, Jason Vargas, Phil Hughes, Mike Leake, Ian Kennedy, and David Hale.
Why are you giving me a list of fringy starting pitchers where I'm very likely to make Phil Hughes rank number one? This is horrible.
I think I would take Jimmy Nelson
Hughes,
over him.
Nelson. And Oive.
You got Bolsinger, you got Kennedy.
I'll go Nelson. I already went Nelson. Bolsinger for third.
One thing about Hughes, Al, 8 straight starts with 4 strikeouts or less.
Yeah. No, I don't expect that to change very much. The velocity is down. He's not really deceptive. I don't really believe. Maybe I should put Nelson ahead of him because with a matchup like he had last night against the Pirates, if he's facing a team that doesn't have too many good hitting lefties in it, he could be very good.
I think I'd put a couple of guys over Phil Hughes at this point. But I'd go probably Kennedy, Nelson, Hughes by default, but I'd probably feel better about Bolsinger. I might even rather have Ruby De La Rosa. I just think there's more upside there.
And I referred to him as Scrubby De La Rosa on Daily Fantasy Live last
night.
He's
not going to keep giving up a home run on one of every fly balls, probably.
But
the rest of his peripherals are very good.
Oh, yeah. It's just the lefty splits are just so bad. Yeah. So
he has a pretty good changeup, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Good. And in fact, Chip Hale talked about that. What's his name?
Yeah.
Chip Hale.
You got it.
I want to call him Skip Hale because he's a skipper.
They've changed managers so many times in the last few years.
He talked about that. He said he's got good stuff and we like his changeup and they're going to stick with Ruby De La Rosa.
Yeah, I think he's got some breakout potential. All he needs to do is get the home runs under control, which obviously that's a big thing.
In the bullpen, are you more encouraged by Greg Holland's last 4 appearances? No hits, no runs, no walks, 5 strikeouts. Or discouraged by Aroldis Chapman's career high 5.8 walks per 9? Actually, highest since 2011, not career high.
Which is more?
I would say I'm not at all worried about Aroldis Chapman, so I'm slightly more encouraged by Greg Holland's last 4 starts.
See, I'm very encouraged by Holland. I am discouraged about Chapman. Not to the point of dropping him, but I could see dangling him on the market and see what's out there.
Yeah, you and the Reds alike. All right then. Injuries, news, and notes. Brandon Morrow is going to have an MRI on his shoulder. Jake Lamb started at third base. Yasmani Tomas was in right field. David Peralta sat against the righty. So they've got a little logjam there. Alex Guerrero started in left. Yasiel Puig took a seat, probably just easing him back in. Matt Latos nearing a return for the Marlins. Fill in the blank, part 2. And seriously, let's do these quickly here so we can read emails. Paul Sipe. David Ortiz will be blank than Victor Martinez rest of season.
More productive.
Better.
Sporty rest, something like that. Some weird Twitter handles.
Sporty rest.
There you go. Sportier rest.
Sportier rest. Yeah.
He's the sportiest. Sure. Blank will lead the majors in steals the rest of the way.
Billy Hamilton.
D.
Gordon. Oh, Billy Hamilton.
I'm just going to go with the guy who can actually get on base.
Bryce.
He needs to stop oversliding, though.
Oh, Billy Hamilton made such a cool play yesterday, scoring. It was Brandon Phillips was at the play. I think it was 3-2 pitch or something like that, and he checked his swing, and it was a walk. His ball 4, but the catcher thought he went around. So the catcher throws down to first base to complete the strikeout because the ball was in the dirt to get Brandon Phillips out with 2 outs, but he threw down on ball 4. So all the while, Billy Hamilton takes off and scores from third base, if that makes sense. You can see it on our website, cbsports.com/MLB. Bryce Lysimer, A.J. Pollock will be a top blank outfielder rest of season.
30.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
From Nick, Matt Kemp will be blank rest of season.
Not on my roster.
I'll go optimistic and say healthy.
Look, I'll say better.
I think that's the best thing I can probably say for him.
Barry Baker, Carlos Correa hits blank home runs rest of season.
I think I said a dozen yesterday, so I might as well stick with that.
I'd say 8. I think his average per 162 games in the minors was 16. So.
And Adrian, how many steals and homers will Ian Desmond have rest of season? Adrian, you do not form this in the form of a blank, so I will do it for you. Ian Desmond will have blank steals and blank homers rest of season.
I will say 12, God, the steals are really hard to say.
Yeah.
There's no indication that he's hurt. There's no indication that he's slowed down.
I'll go with
he's
8.
He's just not running. Yeah, 12 and 8.
And I was going 12 anyway with the home run, so Chris speaks for me.
Time for emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Chuck from UK. Would you trade Brandon Belt for Carlos Correa to use at utility in a roto league?
Unless it's a keeper league, no way.
Yeah.
From Jin.
Desperate needs steals is what he says, but Correa is not a huge, I mean, he's okay.
Better than Belt.
Yeah.
Dear Nerd, Nerder, and Nerdist, I hope Al and Chris are on the podcast for my question.
Yeah.
One of the players in my league just dropped Mike Moustakas. I have Gong and Rendon and Addison Russell. Should I drop either Gong or Russell to pick up Moose?
I would drop Gong to pick up all-star third baseman Mike Moustakas.
And in the email, Jin says something about Moustakas sitting for lefties, but I don't really think that's happening. He did sit, I think, against the last lefty they faced, but they've faced like two lefties in
yeah, I could look that up, but I don't recall that being true.
No, I looked it up this morning. Okay. It's not true. I wouldn't worry about it. The Vegan Pagan says, I'm dropping Ruby De La Rosa. Who should I pick up? Burley, Miguel Gonzalez, Foltynewicz, or Heston?
Folty.
Folty, yeah.
From Ryan in St. Louis, dear Blue Album, Pinkerton, and Green Album.
You gotta help me with that one.
Is that Weezer?
That is Weezer.
I have three injured starters on my bench, three injured starting pitchers. Who are you most confident in going forward? Strasburg, Verlander, or Iwakuma? How about ranking them? Strasburg, Verlander, Iwakuma.
Strasburg, Iwakuma, Verlander.
Once again, Chris speaks for me.
Also,
Chris speaks for everybody.
Get to know your fantasy baseball podcasters. What is the best concert you've ever been to?
Oh, God.
Well, maybe the Roots. They might be the best live band I've ever seen.
Two concerts come to mind. I saw James in San Francisco back in the mid-90s. I think it was the Laid Tour. Great show. Made me a huge James fan. Been one ever since. And I think you'll like this one. I saw Genesis at Forest Hills Tennis Stadium when they were huge, and that was like a pretty tiny little venue. It was awesome.
And
I saw Arcade Fire in like a 500-person club last year. That was pretty. They're a band that plays arenas, but they did like a secret show in some like dingy, like Scarface club in Miami. Like it looks like one of those kind of like clubs that stuck in the 80s. So it was pretty awesome.
That's cool. I know I have the best concert ever. I remember talking that was the best concert I've ever been to, but I cannot remember what the heck it was. So I'll just say Aerosmith because they're awesome every time I've seen them. And Brandon in Washington. Recently a guy in my league cut Julio Teheran. I grabbed him and traded him for Robinson Cano. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's great value, but I don't mind it. There are legitimate reasons to be concerned about both. You're trading one headache for another. I'm always a fan of the grabbing someone off waivers and trading them immediately. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I think.
Of course you are. I know your trade etiquette, so I'm not surprised by that.
whoa. All is fair in fantasy baseball.
It's well, so okay. Remember earlier I said if I had Cano, I would look to trade him for a player kind of in a similar situation, but who I had more faith in? This is that trade.
There you go.
I would rather have Teheran.
Cool. All right. DFS. Watch Daily Fantasy Live, 6 p.m. Eastern, CBSSports.com, Monday through Friday. Check it out. It's an awesome show. And play on FanDuel.com. But this DFS advice should help you no matter where you play.
Come take my money.
I'm going Corey Kluber tonight, but it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tougher to make a lineup today with the expensive pitcher. Yesterday, I had a pretty easy time with it because the Dodgers were pretty underpriced against Ruby De La Rosa. Today, I'm not so sure there's an obvious stack. Al, and then we've got 15 night games here. We got a full slate. Al, I know you've taken a look, and what have you found?
Just in terms of stacks?
Anything that...
Okay, well, I think I agree with you on Kluber. If you want to go cheaper on pitching, well, first of all, I think Liriano at 9,500 is really good. Syndergaard at 8,000. And for a tournament play, I like Nick Martinez at Oakland and Chris Young versus, I'm trying to remember the venue. I think it's at Minnesota. Cause the
yeah, it is.
Twins don't hit righties very well. And that's a good venue for Young. All right. In terms of stacks, I like the Angels against, Nate Carnes. Turns out Carnes has, reverse splits and has had them at least since he was in double A. And, he just tends to leave his pitches out over the plate against righties, particularly his curveball. So the Angels righties, Trout, Pujols, and $3,000 David Freese, I would want to have them all. And if Carlos Perez is catching, I'd want to have him too. And other stacks I like are the Pirates against Taylor Youngman and the Marlins against Mark Burley. The Marlins hit lefties pretty well.
We are, right. I know you, I think last week you said you're done, stacking against Ryan Elias,
I believe.
Elias, I think.
That you said.
Yeah.
But the Indians do hit lefties pretty well, so that might be, one option to go with.
What about, Pittsburgh hitters against Taylor Youngman?
Yes, good stack.
Yeah, that might be the most obvious.
You paid as
one.
Much attention to that as to my Carly Rae Jepsen joke.
I'm sorry, man. I just missed that. I missed that one. All right, some. What about Robbie Ray, by the way? The Dodgers kind of struggle against lefties, eighth lowest OPS against lefties, although they do have Yasiel Puig back now. He's 6,000. What do you think about Robbie Ray in a tournament?
I wouldn't start him at all because I don't think he's a very good lefty, but I would hold off on stacking Dodgers.
Edwin Encarnacion, sixth most expensive first baseman, $3,800. Not terribly expensive. He's 8-for-22 with two home runs against Dan Haren. Josh Reddick is $3,200 because he's been slumping a bit, but I think he's had two good games in a row. Josh Reddick is 5-for-9 with a double and a triple against Nick Martinez, for what that's worth. Carlos Gomez, kind of interesting here because I also like Liriano, Al. Milwaukee is the fourth lowest OPS against lefties. Liriano's struggled at home, though, for whatever that's worth. But Gomez is 9-for-18 with two home runs against Liriano. Now, I don't know when those stats were accumulated. I don't think they are really much of this year. I think Liriano's only had one start against Milwaukee this year. But Gomez has struggled against lefties this season. So even with that, I'm not going with him.
Yeah, I don't take BVP seriously pretty much at all, except in the very rare instance. I have a really hard time taking it seriously against Francisco Liriano because he's been so inconsistent. And I think when those stats were compiled matters a lot for him.
And Lucas Duda has an OPS over 1,000 at home. And, the Mets, who do they have today?
The Giants and Heston. Yeah. And I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think Duda could be a good one. He's a 3,400. I'd rather have Encarnacion for the extra $400, but Duda could be a good option there. It's kind of a tougher day. Like yesterday I felt really good about it. Today I'm not sure. I think, Ruby De La Rosa has figured out a way throughout his career to pitch fairly effectively at home, where I think the Cardinals are a little bit too pricey, unless maybe you're looking at like a John Jay. Or I don't know how much Grichuk is. But like Peralta has bad numbers against De La Rosa in his career. He's very expensive.
You mean Jorge?
Yes, I'm sorry, Jorge. Colton Wong doesn't hit lefties nearly as well as he hits righties. He's very expensive. Holiday, obviously, you're not playing. So I don't know if they're a great stack today at Colorado. And there you go. Those are my 2 cents. And we'll fill you in at 6 p.m. All right, Chris and Al. Nerds out. Thank you, guys.
Nerd out.
Chris, say something.
Goodbye.
There you go. See you.